WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Susan Choi's 2005 novel, American Woman, was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize in Fiction. The story of a woman on the run alluded to the Patty Hearst case. In her latest novel, called A Person of Interest, Choi takes inspiration from the story of a violent radical plucked from yesterday's headlines, the case of the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski. Book critic Maureen Corrigan has a review.
It doesn't add up. Whatever the sum total of factors is that's needed to render the ordinary American normal, Professor Lee, who teaches mathematics at a Midwestern state university, doesn't have enough of them. His meager life tally consists of a good job, a run-down, under-furnished house, two divorces, an estranged daughter, and a vanished stepson. Professor Lee, who's nearing retirement age, likes to go home after teaching his trigonometry classes to students he lightly disdains, pop open a beer or two, scrape together dinner, and fiddle around with mathematics problems far into the night. He's a loner and an intellectual. Or, as we say in America, a weirdo. Susan Choi likes to write about this kind of fringe character, alienated and self-sufficient, folks who refuse to paddle along in the sun-dappled mainstream. In her wonderful novel, American Woman, Choi imagined the extended life on the lam of a woman who'd been a member of a Symbionese Liberation Army-type revolutionary group. Choi's latest novel, A Person of Interest, also opens with a bang. One afternoon, right next door to Professor Lee's own office at the university, a mail bomb explodes on the desk of a popular young computer science professor named Hendley. But that's not the bang I'm referring to. I'm thinking about Choi's incendiary first sentence. It was only after Hendley was bombed, comments Choi's omniscient narrator, that Lee was forced to admit just how much he disliked him. That sentence calibrates our emotional understanding of Lee. He's not a lovable curmudgeon, thank God. Rather, he's a tad cold, judgmental, stoic by temperament and background. Choi alludes to Lee's childhood in an unnamed, war-torn Asian country. Lee's failure to ape the niceties of go-along-to-get-along social behavior proves his undoing. As the FBI enters into the investigation of the anti-technology terrorist the press dubs the Brain Bomber, Lee becomes their chief suspect. After all, he didn't send Hendley a get-well card at the hospital or attend his funeral in formation with the rest of the mathematics department. Choi gracefully incorporates so many stories and tones within this engrossing novel that it's hard to duly admire them all. There's a faint imprint of the always welcome academic farce here. When Lee is first interviewed by a policeman minutes after the bombing, he gasps, "Who would want to kill us? We're only professors. We don't do anything." After Hendley's death, the university suspends classes and institutes a grief plan. A few respectful days later, the grief plan and its team of counselors are swept aside by posters decorating the campus that chirp, "A normal day is okay." At other times, a suspense tale takes precedence. Like some Asian Jimmy Stewart, Lee seems doomed to be the innocent man tried and convicted by popular opinion, not for what he's done, but for what he's failed to do, act affable. The taut conversations between Lee and an FBI agent improbably named Jim Morrison are the stuff that noir nightmares are made of. Lee will mutter a sloppy remark or crack a mistimed joke, and suddenly Morrison transforms from friendly Fed to RoboCop. But what's most absorbing about this novel is the way it charts the slow stages by which a life can get stripped down to solitude. In flashbacks, Lee recalls his first wife, his great love, Aileen. Their marriage was never easy, but during its early years, their days were filled with the joy of a baby daughter, playdates, neighborhood get-togethers, and then, partly due to Lee's emotional stinginess, all those social connections wither. Lee and Aileen eventually divorce, and she dies much too young. Here's how Lee thinks about the odd consolation the claustrophobic university town affords him in his grief. Lee found that his town's very smallness, which he feared would press unwanted memory on him, somehow gave him relief from the past. This was the freedom of severe limitation, like passing a lifetime in one set of rooms. No single scent could remain in the air. No single occasion could claim the backdrop. The AMP, for instance, was Aileen's at inexplicable moments, but for the most part, it remained the drab store where Lee purchased his dinner. Choi is such a pleasure to read because, among her many other gifts as a writer, she's so smart about evoking the inner lives of those characters who, for reasons of politics or personality, would rather stay in the shadows. In her hands, even a misanthropic, second-rate mathematician like Professor Lee becomes a person of interest.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed A Person of Interest by Susan Choi.